Generational, y'all.
But we get up.
Generational.
Sin is just a sinner who fell.
Probably the proudest moment for me doing this. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of the Let's Keep It a Buck podcast. Listen, I'm going to preface this. We are doing this podcast seconds after Iowa defeated LSU 90 to like 78 or something like that, 82 or some shit like that. With that being said, I got the guys here with me. No, that's not Angel. That's not Caitlin Clark shooting that bitch. Damo, how you doing today?
Oh, man, I'm doing great. Doing great. Watch some good hoops. Some ethical, perfectly imperfect basketball, man. Loved it. It was great.
B-Souls, how you doing today, man?
Doing good. I also watched some great, imperfectly perfect hoops. If anything, it was too perfect. I ain't gonna lie.
It was too good.
Yeah, whoa. Whoa. Relax.
Sage, first time watcher, really of a lot of college basketball, really, kind of sort of, but Sage, how you doing today? Yeah, shout out to Haley, man. Skims model. Listen, man, if you're new to this, you want to be true to this, make sure you tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend. My word of mouth people, you're doing the Lord's work. Make sure you hit that join button. Make sure you hit that subscribe button. Make sure you follow us on all major platforms. We have the Twitter, LKIAB pod. And then we have the Instagram, LKIAB_pod. To get the new updates, the content, all that stuff like that. Join the Discord community. Listen, I don't want to beat around the bush. Not no more. Leave us
out to the audio guys.
Yeah. Shout out to the audio guys always. Leave us a 5-star review on Apple. That's what we really care about, y'all.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We'll read some of them later.
Yeah. I don't want to beat around the bush no more. 94-87 Iowa LSU. This was a rematch of last year's championship game in the Elite Eight. There are a couple things to talk about here. Starting off with the star of the show, Caitlin Clark. 41, 12 assists, 7 boards, 1 block, 2 steals, 9 for 20 from 3. She really, really, really got him up. 13 for 29. She brought along Kate Martin with 21. Sydney, or I'm butchering her name. Yeah, Sydney Ofter with 16. Big minutes from little Gabby Marshall. We love that. On the LSU side, Flaje Johnson, 23 points, went 10 for 18 from the field, 6 boards, 2 assists, 1 steal, 3 blocks. Great defensive game. Star of the team, Angel Reese, 17 points, 20 boards, 7 for 21 from the field, 3 for 8 from the free throw line. 3 blocks, but fouls out at a crucial time. Last person to touch over there, and nobody's going to want to touch her after this game. Haley Van Lith, 9 points, 2 for 10 from the field, 2 turnovers, but it seemed like she had so many more. And then just awful, awful, awful defense on Caitlin Clark. I want to start
trash.
They said she was sick. We're not giving that excuse. I want to start with Sage, especially because, you know, this was his first time watching both of these teams, watching any of these people. Let me just thoughts. We're just doing thoughts based off of that game. That was a great game.
As the person with the least analysis, or at least the person that is least qualified to analyze, let me start from the bottom. This motherfucker right here. Look, I've apparently she had a bad foot, a bad breakfast. Apparently she was sick, washed, all that stuff. Hey, what I saw tonight, I'm going off of what I seen tonight. This is my only game seeing her. Yo, she sucks. Now, she in college, so after today, you know, it is what it is. I'm sorry, shawty, because it is what, like, you're in college. I ain't going to do too much. But tonight,
You suck!
And that's all I got to say about her. Next things next. Now, in regards to somebody who I care for a lot more. Oh, actually, let me start on the third place medal, the bronze medal. Most important, most impressive player to me is a combination of, true, to be honest, Angel Reese and Kate from Iowa. Them two, hey. Kate ain't that bad, and then Angel did her thing. Now, obviously, I didn't know Angel didn't really have a bag for her. And I know y'all going to be like, obviously, bro, it's my first game. I didn't know Angel didn't have a bag. So she's a rough em up kind of gal. I like that. And then Kate gets her buckets when she needs to. Silver medal going to my favorite player, Flajay, there it is. Flajay Johnson, that's my girl right there. I'm just saying, Kaylin ain't scoring her. I'm just saying. But in number one, it almost did. Almost fucked her up. Almost fucked her up. We ain't talking about that.
I ain't even gonna lie.
But I ain't gonna lie. At the end of the day, y'all, even I gotta admit. And Caitlin was so scary, number one. A lot of people in the chat were talking to me about Paige, talking to me about some girl that's 6'7", some of all these other names about who they're rivaling Caitlin as number two. Look, I am the casual. So y'all got it. I have to listen until I see to prove I'm wrong. But I think you niggas is just chatting. You telling me someone else is in this league doing 42-7-12? Okay. But I seen Caitlin Clark do some shit that I don't even think Cam Reddish could do. I seen Caitlin Clark do some shit that Killian Hayes. Boy, I don't think he's ever done that shit. So I'm not going to lie, bro. Caitlin Clark is her. There's a reason why all these brand deals are choosing her. And from what I've seen, if it's really her, Kate, and friends out there, yo, this is 2018 Braun, bro. I'm hella impressed.
The power of friendship, man. B-Souls, Damo, whichever one. Y'all know I want to close this out. So whichever one of y'all wants to go.
I'll go. Fantastic game. I mean, I feel like that's the consensus with everyone. Lived up to the hype. One of the most hyped up games I've ever seen in my life. And for that to be a close game, for the stars to show out, the star to show out the way that she did, I mean, there's really not more you can ask for. I mean, I would have hoped Angel Reese played the whole game healthy. She was banged up early in the game, but everyone was healthy, relatively speaking. Everyone was on the court. The stars came out, aside from her. She was the only star that did not show out, so that was disappointing, but not really. That's one of the memorable moments of that game that will never be forgotten, for better or for worse. I'm just happy that we finally figured out exactly what the fuck is gonna get people to watch women's basketball. And I understand, you know, we want to we only care about what's on the court and shit like that. But at the end of the day, what makes people care is storylines. Like, y'all want to be mad at people for caring about storylines and certain matchups, but that is a part of what makes sports great. That is a part of what makes sports entertaining. And we saw that on full display this night. We saw that on full display this night, because that all the storylines going into this game made this game so much more interesting, on top of how great it was actually on the court to watch. Bro, that's one of the greatest games I've ever seen. I ain't gonna lie.
Ah, man. And for me, I'm gonna keep it quick because I know Omar really wants to get to it. I'm gonna keep it quick. I'm gonna give the bad and the good. The bad, personally, everyone can say Angel Reese played well, but I'm not gonna lie. That lack of a bag that Sage talked about, that Giannis-style ball, without the dominance, is hard to watch. I feel like LSU could have went in other directions. I kept calling for Flajay. We all were calling for Flajay. But there were no adjustments made. My first bad flag, I guess I'm going to say, first bad flag goes to Leslie Knope, a.k.a. the coach of LSU. I don't know her name. Leslie Knope was over there. Hey, Leslie Ham might as well have been. Yeah. Her hands should have been in her pockets. The way she wasn't coaching, Jesus Christ, left Alien too long, wasn't making no type of adjustments defensively, wasn't trying to change the zone, change the scheme, anything. Just let
it was dropping cook on Caitlin for a couple plays. So I'm like, what the fuck?
She's just letting Caitlin cook how she wanted. No adjustments. The coach gets the biggest flag. Angel Reese didn't show up, in my opinion, offensively with some of the things that she could have done. This game was unnecessarily close for a long time until Caitlin Clark and Iowa finally got going, got running. There was plenty of chances for LSU to dominate this game. Just a lot of those ladies came short. Again, outside of Flajay, And I forgot, I don't know who 24 name is, what 24 name is, but she was hooping for the most part. I seen her. She gave a little better post work. Got a lot of good shots. And of course the good Kate in Iowa came to hoop. Gabby Omar kept calling out all game. It was not going unnoticed, unappreciated. Her defense was crazy. She was causing havoc, making it hard for everybody to get comfortable, and was just hustling, doing all the things that don't show up on the stat sheet. And of course, the real MVP, Caitlin Clark. Big three niggas, be careful, because I'm not gonna hold you. You better take your legs and grab your bingay, because she is not one of them. Y'all think y'all can just push up on her and rough her up? No. Caitlin Clark is like that. I love the assassin mentality. I loved her ability to get everyone involved. She was not holding the moment for herself. She picked her time, picked her shots, and she kept passing, kept her head up, throwing dots all game, even when teammates is missing layups. A lot of people, you missed 2-3 of these. All right, I might as well take it. No, she's still giving everybody the ball. He won't show me a lot. I ain't going to lie. I haven't watched too many Caitlin Clark games. I just heard the legend. I'm not going to lie. I believe the hype. She passed all boxes. The women's game is in a good place right now.
Yeah, no funny. And it's going to sound crazy for people that did not watch it. She could have legitimately had a 40 and 20, 20 assists. There were really like, if not 8, 6, 7 assists that were like, you should have either caught that or you could have
just pump fake.
Yeah, you could have did something with that. But literally, she could have had a 40 and 20 on that side. Listen, man.
Fire.
You know, I've been preaching the gospel for a long time. That's mommy for real. I don't know what else to say. I don't even necessarily care to talk about the play because niggas have seen that, you know, time and time again. Like, it is what it is. I've talked about that before. We've talked about that before. If you've been watching this tournament, she's been playing, I don't want to say laid back, but more passive. And it seemed like she was saving herself because she knew. And this round, the next round, and then the round after that, in order for me to win, 40 plus. Simple. That's what it's going to have to be. That's what happened last year. She scored 42 games in a row, and then in the championship game, she just couldn't get it done. I do want to go to the LSU side first. Yo, Kim Mulkey, we knew you were an awful coach before. We knew you got your rings off of talent and just dominating and all that stuff before. It's only right here. Kim Mulkey is known for being a player back in the day, been coaching Brittany Griner, having a 6'8 player in college basketball, especially at the time, was great. I think Brittany had somebody else on her team that ended up being in the WNBA too. Her name escapes me right now, but that's how you got it. Last year, you had some dogs, I'm not going to lie. And you noticed and you kept in people who were ready to live up to the moment. Haley was not ready to live up to the moment. And there's a lot of ways we can go about this. This is the problem with the transfer portal. I listened to a space the other day. Ole Miss coach was talking about players just hopping into the transfer portal. You average 2 points. You average one assist. And you think you the person that needs to be in a transfer portal? Fuck no. You suck. Have you been working on your game? You go in here to average 2 points, then here to average 2 points, then here to average 3 points is not doing it for you. You played out of position this whole year. You really struggled this whole year, Haley. So I hope it was worth it. I hope it was worth being in the mix, being in LSU, you know, being down there doing your thing. I know it was a great time, but that was a mistake. You wouldn't have been on such a good team in Louisville, but that was a total mistake. Yes, definitely shouts out to Flage. I disagree with Damar. I mean, Angel did a lot. She played with a lot of heart, a lot of passion. She gave it her all. But when you don't develop over the years, that is what your all looks like. And you can get away with tenacity once. You know, you can catch people off guard with that. But I am actually very proud of the job that Hannah Stolke did this year. And Addison O'Grady, big 44. I'm proud of the jobs that they did. On the LSU side, shout out to Flage. Shout out to Michaela too. I definitely don't want to take it from them. I do want to say I thought Flage was supposed to guard Caitlin though.
Even this casual got that one right.
That might be a coaching thing, though.
That's it. But I'm gonna keep it 100. They waited till the fourth quarter to bring that out, and the first thing Caitlin did.
Hey. No. It was the second thing. It was the second thing.
Okay. That open up.
Nobody saw that coming, bro. I ain't gonna lie.
And I ain't gonna lie, Fly J looked like a mannequin. She looked like she was.
She was so far. It was like 35 feet out. I'm like, why?
I think she fouled it too. They just didn't call it.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Then she still pulled it on her, and then she fouled it. Yeah.
Definitely was a no call.
So I don't want to Iowa. Job's not finished. Y'all know how I feel about Iowa. Y'all know how I feel about Caitlin Clark. Y'all know how I feel about little Gabby Marshall. She has somebody come and get buckets with her. What I don't want to see, because this was a great coming out party for a lot of people. I think last year was a great awakening, just the rumblings and all this. This year has been the buildup. I'm glad that this happened when it did happen, because if they were on different sides of the bracket, this may have not happened. So I'm glad that this actually got to happen. What I don't want to see is the bullshit narratives tomorrow. I don't want to hear about Angel Reese's grades, her boyfriend, her NIL deals, her lashes, her weave. I don't want to hear about that. I don't want to hear about Fly J's rap career, her NIL deals, the antics off the court. I don't want to. They came to play. There's only one person who didn't come to play today, and that was in my opinion, but I expected her to do that anyway. They came to play. They did a great job. The only thing that somebody might say that would call this, oh, this is what trash hoops looks like. College basketball is tight on the travels. They just are. So there was definitely a lot of travels there, but they tight. They're just, I mean, they really are. It really don't matter. But this was a good showing. I'm never begging anybody to watch women's basketball again. If you watch this and you have complaints, then you're exactly what I've been saying this whole time. I've been vindicated from this whole time. You are an NBA fan. You are a Lakers fan. You are a LeBron James fan. You are not a basketball fan. I know y'all hate it when I say that on this podcast. I know they hate it when I say that on this podcast. But if you were one of the ones who watched this, which I think this will be one of the biggest and most watched basketball games of this century, or this decade, but if you were one of the ones that watched this and still say the same shit, you do not like basketball.
Hey, I'm a basketball fan. I've been watching a lot of college hoops this year, so allegations beat. Yes, sir.
Hey, but my thing is, though, everybody's going to sit here and say basketball fan. My thing is, man, and it's fine to be an NBA fan, but just y'all just don't need to lie about it, especially if this is the kind of game that didn't really, like, you know, hit for you. If the some missed layups didn't hit, we watched this entire game, no dunks. You are crazy. You think this game is bad because they didn't dunk the ball? What? That'd be a taking history, bro. So like the idea of lowering the rims, all this stuff. No, let them do exactly what they're doing. It was a fantastic product as an omni casual of women's basketball. Hell, some of you think I'm an omni casual to Lakers basketball, and I think that's the one thing I'm good at. But, like, if I'm a casual across the board, dog, hey, it was entertaining to me. So if it was entertaining to me, I guarantee you, Mr. NBA 246, it'll be fantastic to you. Unless you only like the NBA.
You would have to care about dunks so much to, like, not find that shit interesting. Where are the dunks? Oh, my God. Like, bruh. Jesus Christ. That shit is not what makes basketball entertaining. But, yeah, the narrative tomorrow about to be nasty. And that's really what I hate about this whole situation, is this going to be a lot of confirmation bias on the timeline. See, this is what I'm talking about. When I'm going to just keep it a stack, Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese have already come out and said they're cool with each other. Even the animosity between them has been blown out of proportion. These two teams came to hoop. They hooped. It was a clean game. And y'all are about to twist and turn this into whatever y'all want. It's about to be nasty. So,
especially for Fly J, and I'm saying that, yes, as her stand, but especially as a person that's seen her game tonight, man, because she was like 8 of 14, 8 of 13 until when the game was pretty much over, she started throwing up shots. And even then, she hit, I think, two big shots. So I don't know what her stats going to look like by the end. I don't know what her stats look like right 10, now.
10-18.
So that's not even bad. So never mind that. But, hey, I'm just saying, I don't know how. I mean, I do know how, because obviously the joke on Twitter is race war, all that other shit. But yeah, turning this into a they weren't prepared for it, they didn't want it narrative would be crazy work, y'all.
Yeah, I hope going forward people just aren't as ignorant as before. I do want to ask, because this was a topic on Stephen A. and all them's a show. They were saying this game is legacy defining for CC, Miss Clark. And I know this isn't the college basketball, women's basketball analysis, but I wasn't that person. This ended up being legacy defining. This ended up being a needle mover to me.
Mm. For me, there's only positives to be gained in college because, you know,
they're in college.
So like, and I seen someone comment it that we being harsh on Haley or whatever. Dog, we are talking about hoops. I guess she a girl, and I get you. You get a little tingly whenever we are critical of any woman. But no, we're talking hoops. And hoops, she wasn't good. But at the end of the day, she in college. I ain't killing her. She probably still going to get drafted based on what y'all have told me about her background and in the past and stuff like that. So, or is she? I ain't gonna lie, she can't make entry pass, dog. I don't know what to tell you, but like I will say that she can't make entry pass. Like that was the most notorious thing I've seen tonight. And then she was a shooter that weren't knocking down shots. But y'all told me she's a shooter. That's not the point. But yeah, even whether we're criticizing Haley or whether we're boosting Kayla Clark, at the end of the day, they're in college, bro. Ain't nobody really pissed off at these kids for real, unless your parlay got fucked up or something.
I would say, for me, this is legacy ceiling. This sealed the legacy. I wouldn't say this defined it. This sealed it. The legend of Kaitlyn Clark was sealed when she went and defeated the people that beat her last year. She had a crazy run last year. No transfer. Same situation. Literally back-to-back situations. But instead, when she ran to this team, she showed up and showed out how she usually did. And that would be the question going forward, if it was the reverse, or if this was the same thing that happened last year, if she would have been shut down or was off or was 9 for 25 or whatever it was, finished with 20 points and they lose by 10, it would have been, oh, it didn't work. So the fact that she was able to beat this foe, this level of adversity, legacy ceiling.
As far as her legacy, I don't know. It's just crazy the fact that we're even talking about legacy defining or legacy ceiling moments for a college player. Because I've never seen that, like, at least ever since I started watching sports. Could y'all name an example ever since? Legacy-defining shit before you turn pro?
I mean, yeah, we're talking about on the college level. I mean, guys like J.J. Redick. J.J. Redick sealed his legacy at one point.
When he started watching sports, probably not. Because college has transformed since you started watching. And that's an age thing. I know that people...
I wouldn't say that. I would say a guy like Doug McDermott, in terms of his college legacy at Creighton, what he was able to do in college at the time, like he sealed his legacy at one point. I want to say Frank Kaminsky, at the time when he won, he kind of sealed his college legacy in terms of what he did for Wisconsin hoops. Another guy would say in terms of, and maybe it's me just thinking because of that team, but I want to say Jalen Brunson and that Virginia cast that they had, or – He was at Virginia, right?
Jalen Brunson?
Villanueva. Not Virginia. But those guys, I want to say, at one point, didn't they win multiple championships or multiple titles? Or their last run they won? It was that not how the story went? But I want to say for them, but maybe not on this scale, not on this level, but...
That's what I'm saying. Like, if we want to talk about college legacies, I've definitely seen that before, but I feel like with Kaitlyn, the conversation is bigger than just her legacy at Iowa. It's like... what she means to women's basketball and having those conversations for a person who, or for a player who hasn't graduated yet, who hasn't gone pro. I've just never seen it before. So that may be glazed, but yeah, she's one of them ones.
Close thing I've seen to this in terms of overall impact, because the impact to women's basketball, you're right, probably does put her at the top spot. But close thing I've seen, you got to go to football for me. You ain't no basketball player. You got to go to either Tebow or Watson for me.
Mm-hmm.
There's only two that's really fucking with it. Maybe Vince, but probably Tebow.
Cam.
Yeah, maybe. Cam. Cam maybe as well. Yeah.
Cam maybe as well. Shout out to Kaitlyn Clark. Shout out to Iowa. You know, Gabby, Hannah, Kate. Johnny. They still got a tough road ahead of them. They still have whoever comes out of this UConn-USC game, and then whoever comes out of, you know, NC State, NC State, USC, but I'm, you know, it'll probably be South Carolina.
They've only lost once in the last 2 years, and it was against Iowa. Is that correct?
Hey, man.
Yeah. Yeah, casuals like me, I don't mean to be the bearer of bad news, but we was watching this game, whether it was Omar, Damo, or the chat themselves, man. Apparently, SC just going to whoop whoever. It didn't matter who won this game. Apparently, SC got size and skill, match up well. Apparently, they going to raise this trophy regardless. I will be tuning into that. I'll be paying attention, but that's apparently the favorite, and apparently Paige is number two. Y'all comment below.
107-3 in the last 3 years. Oh my God.
107-3, yeah. In the last three. I think two of them came before she became on a rise, but like in the last two, it might have been one, and then that one was it was Caitlin last year who had to drop 40. So be prepared. You gotta drop 40. Yeah. This year they went 36. Yeah. Oh, she dropped 48 last year?
No, I'm saying she got to drop 48 this year. 48.
Yeah, they went 36-0 this year, and then they went 35-1 last year. And the one was Caitlin, and the year before that, they went 35-2 and won the whole thing. So it just that's what it is over there. So I'm just like,
go higher. Let's do it. 48. Let's do it, bro. 48-12.
She's going to have to do like last year, try to drop 40 in all these games, man. Shout out to
if she does it, that's why Ice Cube gave her $5 million. Well, offered her $5 million.
If she does it, I'm glad she turned it down because that number is higher. Now.
Undervalued or something.
Oh, hell no. Nah.
The bag got bigger. Sorry.
20.
Look at this. I just want y'all to see this. This was after she hit that one. I can't remember which long three it was. It was after Caitlin hit that.
Her and Reese was both like these.
Yeah,
that's some Austin River shit.
I mean, like, but in all honesty, what can you do? She was out there playing the best defense she possibly could, and they left her on an island. No switches. If she got screened, they let her die on the screen. Angel Reese didn't show at all, hedge at all. It was just let her get cooked. That was kind of crazy. You would have thought they had bad blood the way they let her go out there and die. That was wild.
Yeah, even if she was the best matchup, again, we've been dunking on her, so all shit aside, even if she is genuinely the best matchup, I wouldn't know better. Dog, 12 straight points? All right, man. all right, somebody, help me. I am dying. I am getting cooked. Like, they really just let that happen. That's crazy.
I mean, she, yeah, I don't know. I have no clue. I have no clue at that point. Let's get into what some of the people really want to hear. Let's get to some basketball, some NBA basketball.
Finally, the sport that I always care about when I like basketball.
I lost the Notion link, so a lot of this will be off the top of my head. I'm not going to lie to you. Oh, wow. So I watched No Chillithin Gillithin's podcast this week, and it was so ironic. It was so ironic. So ironic. The topic was why NBA players should never trust team doctors, right? Mm-hmm. I just want to play this clip. Hello?
Yo. I don't know, but you just sound weird, right?
Can y'all hear that?
No.
You get April Fool's.
Supposed to be here.
Womp, womp.
What is that?
Are we living in a dream?
What is what?
I don't know. What are you hearing?
I'm not saying we don't hear anything.
My bad. Technical difficulties.
You got them pop-ups.
Yeah, that's what it is.
I myself. Oh, fuck.
That goddamn website. Nah.
Chatterbait.
MILF's near me. What?
Yeah. Hey.
Yo.
I hate you.
Where?
Okay. This is what they said.
And take your place.
Yeah.
So then they can drop you off because you're still hurt.
That's
right? They can offload a contract because of injury. And so if your timetable is 8 to 12 or 8 to 10, mm-hmm. and then they look at you and they're like, man, we see this guy, Rodney Carney and Kurt Schneider, whatever they are, playing well. Like, well, I mean, tell him just take his time. Mm-hmm. Tell him to take his time. It's going to be all right. Hey, there's no rush. And even if they're spending money on the rehab, they'll take that hit to offload this contract and give this guy less because it makes sense for them. It's like, well,
everybody lying.
Yeah, everybody lying.
You know, like, that was so funny. I saw it when it was with
Dart. No, Gil was just
like Hayes. And I'm in there when they told 10 to 8 weeks. And them boys went out there and said 6 to 4. And I'm sitting here like, I said, Jarvis, fuck no. They said 10 to 8 weeks, dog. He's like, what? I said, 8 to 10 weeks. I said, they said 8 to 10. They did not say no 4 to 6. I was in there listening.
Was that his knee?
Yep. End up having a cracked kneecap.
He was never the same either.
They said he had tendonitis. He had a cracked kneecap.
Yep. What?
Yeah.
It's a lot of that.
There's lying.
It's a lot.
I don't know. Just put some ice and stem on it. There ain't nothing. I'm like, we all team like, dog, something wrong with your knee, dog. Something's really wrong with it. Go get another opinion. So he doing it.
Why is that so coincidental? And Rashard McCants talks about times in Minnesota where the doctor told him something, team doctor told him something, and then he had to go out there and get another opinion, and the other opinion was a longer timetable as well. It was just like that. Why that was so interesting as I was surfing the web is because we got a Woj bomb. Not an April Fool's joke. ESPN sources tells Adrian Wojnarowski Philadelphia 76ers star Joel Embiid is near return and expected to play this week. The reigning MVP has been out since January 30th with a left meniscus injury. His status for Tuesday versus OKC is expected later today.
I'm concerned about this, bro. That ass.
This is a terrible idea. I said at the time he got hurt, he should not come back. They shouldn't rush him back. There's no reason he should come back. With his track record, with his history, no reason to come back. That's just crazy.
Yeah,
it was bad when we were watching the games live and having conversations, whether it was already on playback or whether we were just chilling or whatever. If you watch Sixers games, I'll never forget that Warriors game where bro wanted to move forward, but he ended up moving to the side. Bro couldn't jump for rebounds. That game was awful. And he'd been playing like that for months if you really paid attention at that point in time. Man, I don't want to see him coming back right now. Obviously, if he's there in the playoffs, yes, you'll hear Sage be hype because Joel Embiid is a star player in the league. He was literally miles away the MVP when he was healthy. I know that sounds crazy considering what Luka's doing now. Maybe Luka enters the conversation, but that's not the point. Point is, Embiid was that damn good in the regular season thus far. So I'm going to be hype, but ultimately in the back of my mind, I'm going to be like, bro, please don't have this nigga crash out just because y'all trying to win this one chip this year, bro. It ain't worth it. At the end of the day, it really ain't worth it at all. It's a sport, but it damn well ain't worth it for 1 year, even if we're staying and retain in the idea of the sport, dog. You know what Joel Embiid is. He's an injury-prone player. There's no reason you need to have him out there at 50%. At 100%, he could get hurt. Why you want him out there at 50%, bro? Pretty nasty. This is, and also for what McCants and Gil were saying, that's obvious shit. Kawhi's the notorious story, but even with what Halliburton was doing, playing because of the contract and shit like that, yeah, nah, you ain't gonna trust these team doctors, but they got the team interest. It's the team doctors.
Yeah, I'm not a correlation equal causation type of guy. Like, I try to, you know what I'm saying, watch out for that. But, bro, Philly's track record with the rookies, the young players that they have drafted ever since the process has started. It's like, bro, there's no way y'all just... And there may be a part of it, you know what I'm saying? I'm always a big proponent of the accountability pie chart isn't always 100% to one person. But, bro, that track record with Nerlens Noel, Markel, Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid, it's like at some point, we got to look at you and really determine what part of that pie is your fault. What is going on with the medical staff? Why is Joel Embiid being rushed back? Is he being rushed back? Because I will say, at the end of the day, I am not a medical professional, so I can only say so much. But is he being rushed back? Like, what is the actual motive here? And I feel like with their track record, we at the very least have the right to question, like, what their motives are. Jahlil Okafor, another one?
2018. The Ringer breaks a story from, you know, the Twitter accounts that seemed a little bit suspicious, and they were questioning who was behind it because they were being very critical of the 76ers and their staffs and were only commenting on, you know, 76ers related things. This is when, you know, burner accounts were coming out and et cetera, et cetera. That is a tweet about Brian Colangelo. Oh, wow. That is a tweet about Brian Colangelo. You know, the Liberty Ballers talked about the untrustworthy Sixers GM, blase, blase, blah. But as you continue to go through it, it's this enough unknown sources guy at the very bottom who has been tweeting about different stuff. But I want to pay attention to, it's a specific one, and I might just go to the Google search. He's calling out Sam Hinkie in these tweets, talking about Sam Hinkie, the process, et cetera, from that Eric Jr. account and from this account. Let me just go to this one right here. Derek Bodner says, Markelle Fultz is no longer experiencing soreness in his right shoulder and the scapular muscle imbalance is resolved. We'll continue PT and evaluated on-court basketball activities. Mike says something along the lines of, you're so wrong about this. BC, Brian Colangelo, has a horrible track record with handling injuries and forced Fultz into playing hurt. Fultz was dealing with pain. If he just changed his shot, he would have been more open to taking jumpers in the limited time. Blase, blase, blah. One of the accounts that they think was Brian Colangelo's burner, nope. The so-called mentor tried to force him to change his shot. Tapes have surfaced. The guy making Markel shooting while sitting in a chair, while on his back and on the floor. The guy denies it, as doesn't want to say why was forced out of kid's life. Why nobody reports this? There were other tweets where he was talking about Jahlil Okafor. Keith Pompey says, Jahlil Okafor on past couple of days. It was just a weird situation. Eric Jr., one of Brian Colangelo's burner accounts, asked Ja if he passed other team physical. He will not say not to lose other chance, but I bet the farm it's what happened. That is Brian Colangelo in response to a guy after being traded on Jahlil Okafor's physical history. I say all this to say, during that whole process, we were looking at some of the wrong things. We were looking at the management, how they did the reports and all this other stuff like that. The way they handle injuries was piss poor. And I don't remember, because that was confirmed to be Brian Colangelo, I don't remember them getting rid of the medical staff in Philly. I don't know if y'all remember that story. I don't know if y'all remember any outcomes. I don't remember them getting rid of the medical staff in Philly. And this is the same medical staff that I'm supposed to believe is responsible for Joel Embiid?
Sad to see. But hey, we always say best ability is availability, and it is sad to see. It kind of even on like the off topic shit in terms of what Joel could be shit, right? If he just had a fucking doctor. This is just depressing. I'm usually the long-winded guy, and I'm being long-winded right now, I guess, but I don't have that much to say. This is just sad, man. But like someone in chat brought up, and like I said earlier, I'm going to enjoy Joel Embiid when he's on the court, but I'm going to be worried about this motherfucker the entire time. I don't want to have to think that way when I'm watching NBA or really anybody do anything. I don't want to have to be like, ooh, is he okay every time he falls? Like how some of y'all do with AD back then, still do it now. I don't want to have to think that way. I just want to see players play basketball. I don't want to have to be concerned all the time.
I'll say I get a lot of the vibes. Well, not even vibes. I just remember back to when Kawhi Leonard was dealing with what he was dealing with the Spurs. How the team doctor told him he was good to go. And he was like, nah, I'm not with them. I'm getting a second opinion. And how certain teammates had something to say and had comments and go, I had the energy. I came back. This reminds me of that. And this is the opposite side of that. This is when a player doesn't take that second opinion. This is when that player is thinking for the team instead of himself. And any player, honestly, in a situation I would feel for, Joel Embiid, especially with him, because you came to this organization with injury problems. You've continued to have injury problems your entire career. And with this injury specifically, we all watched in real time, you look visibly injured. You get another injury that we all see and deemed as serious, and no one wants to see you come. Not no one wants to see you come back to say it like that. But we all think of your health. It's not worth it coming back right now because you're risking. This is like the Isaiah Thomas shit with his hip. This is like, bro, you should sit. And we've seen what happened to IT. And IT is a 5'7" point guard. I mean, you are a 300-pound, 7'2" center. Like, this is nothing to play with.
You are yourself first.
Can I add what I think makes it worse? And I know people are going to disagree heavy with this one. I think what makes it worse, because Damo is right about, like, he came in injured, and I could only think about the time when he was at Kansas and all that stuff like that. What's it called? Nobody's saying this, but they are taking advantage of a foreign dude, like a foreign-born player. Joel Embiid was playing fucking soccer up until like 15 years old or whatever, volleyball up until 15 years old. He came in, saw this guy. You know, we can make a whole bunch of money on him. You know, we could train him up or whatever the case may be. Enrolled him into these academies, schools or whatever. Got him to Kansas. Gets injured at Kansas. And then gets into the NBA system. Gets injured there as well. Gets injured again. And they just telling him whatever. And I would, you know, somebody would, oh, he's a 30-year-old man. He should be able to be smarter. But it's just not like that. It really is just not like that. Team doctor shouldn't be a thing. Team doctor should not be a thing. I'm 100% for it. Team doctors should not exist. It's the same reason that I feel the same way about the refs. They are unbiased parties that are in it for the interest of the team.
That is an interesting perspective, though, because, again, I don't know if this is that's his actual mentality, but as an immigrant going into this country, you're trying to figure out exactly how this country works. And a part of that for him is the NBA process. So if he just goes into the NBA process saying, just trust the team doctors. I don't know anything better. I don't know anything else. All right, this is the truth in my eyes. So I don't even know if Joel Embiid, like, looking at a second opinion is even in his head. Hopefully someone is in his ear, like, actually talking about that. But I don't really know who are the people around him to even give that advice.
Questioning a doctor isn't even in, like, I don't want to say a normal person's head as if he's not normal, but, like, plenty of people don't question their doctor. Like, you go to the doctor, the doctor's
yeah, yeah, you. They're supposed to be the authoritative figure, yeah, the profession.
When I do it, I literally be like, bro, that's your doctor, shut up.
He gives you a piece of paper, you go to CVS, you get it filled or whatever the case may be, and you keep it pushing. So for somebody, and that's somebody without the language barrier, that's somebody born in the country, all that stuff, understanding it. For somebody not born in the country, and they've been put you in this circus. They've been put you in this Ferris wheel. Hey, your back is hurt. Do this, that. Kansas, do this, that, and third. Da, 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 just keep spinning until we're here. And he's got a great career. He's had a great career. But thinking back on it, can't play 40, 50, 60 games, consecutive seasons. You can't put two seasons together where he can play 60 games, but he keeps. I have never heard about him getting a different opinion. Have y'all? Am I making this up?
No.
Never heard. It could be possibly out there. Let me be clear. If it's out there, comment section, you're not being a smart ass. Let us know. But
I'm not in the locker room. I'm not in the Philadelphia Warrior. I mean, Philadelphia Twitter fan club. Like, I'm not in them spaces. I don't know. Maybe he has. But in terms of the public knowing or public knowledge, like, it's been openly said, no.
Yeah, please let us know if it is a thing. Seriously, because It would help. I want this. I want us to all be dead wrong here. I hope that's like the whole thing. I don't want to be
I mean, the fact that he's coming back as fast as he is, you can assume he only has listened to the Dean doctors. You can assume based off of how he's handled his health up until this point, he's only listened to the team doctors.
That's safe. It's an extremely, I wouldn't even think, especially in Kansas, that's well out the window. Philadelphia, earlier, come on now. He came in injured.
You came in hurt. You were on a timetable, a process. Your first year was, you was looking like Zion when he first came back. Severely minute handled, like manage your minutes, like cater to you. Couldn't play back-to-backs. Couldn't play more than two times in a week. Like you were used to being coddled or handled in a certain situation, like in a certain way with this team and his medical staff. Like you've grown to view those habits as normal. Like think about how crazy people took it that Kawhi got second opinions. Kawhi getting a second opinion was the abnormal thing everybody was talking about. People didn't even think you could do that. I didn't even know niggas could do that. I thought if you were on the NBA team, your doctor was a team doctor. Yeah. Like I thought that's what the niggas was for. The fact that he was able to say, nah, that nigga's lying, or nah, I don't trust him. I know my knee, and went to a different doctor and they confirmed what he said. But I was like, oh shit.
But you remember what they said when Kawhi did it, right? They said that he was trying to get somebody to say what Kawhi wanted to hear so he could sit out. I don't know if y'all remember that. That was one of
the crazy narratives.
They said, oh, Kawhi don't want to play. He's going from doctor to doctor to get somebody to say what he needs to be said so Kawhi can sit out. Whole time the niggas really hurt.
Yeah, no, Kawhi shit, as the person that like dunks on Kawhi all the time because he's a Clipper, and I still will after this segment. I gotta admit, I was 1,000% with Kawhi's stance there. Hey, look, I don't give a fuck what nobody say. Some don't feel right with this knee. And y'all keep telling me something right with my knee, and I'm like, nah. Nah, and if it's mental, hey, that's tough, gang. But don't, I'm going to get another opinion because something ain't right. I was 1,000% with Kawhi.
That's so worrisome to me that we can't even trust, like, medical professions to that degree, especially, like, NBA team doctors because – like something similar happened to my girl last year where she felt something like right here and she went to urgent care. They were like, it's just something, just take ibuprofen, you'll be fine. A couple days later, she went to urgent care again. They said, it's fine. And then at some point, it got so bad, we had to go to the ER and it ended up being like a gallbladder that needed surgery. I'm like, bro, what the damn? So we had to go through three doctors for y'all to actually figure out what the problem was. And if we didn't figure out the problem, she would have been, I don't know, God, like, what the fuck would happen to her if, you know, we never found out. But, man, that's unfortunate, bro.
Think about it, too. What y'all first two trips, weren't y'all only in there? Like, didn't somebody only really see you for, like, 4 minutes or some shit like that?
That should be annoying the fuck out of me, bro. When I go to urgent care, man, I'm like, oh, my God, I feel like I'm fucking dying. Yeah, okay, take some ibuprofen. Like, fuck, bro.
Tylenol.
I know this is more than just Tylenol, dude.
Damn.
Oh, man. One time. I didn't get up. Mm-hmm. I said, nah, bro, next.
Don't have a transition for this one. We're getting into the end of the season. We're having people make comments about people again. You know, we hear from Tony Kukoc. And this is what he has to say on Nikola Jokic. Keep in mind, this is Nikola Jokic.
Oh, no.
Despite the statistics, Jokic isn't at the level of Vlade Divac and Dino Raja in the center position. Tony Kukoc on Nikola Jokic. Now, if you don't know who that is, Dino Raja is Celtic center from back in the day. I don't know
all that, bro.
I think he played in the 90s, but I'm gonna be honest, I didn't know about him till I seen this tweet. So,
and again, this is the same Vladdy who had problems with Luka and didn't want to draft Luka. Now, apparently, it was much more than basketball, but let me. Dama, what are your thoughts, man? Tell me.
First of all, you must have known Luka was like a Aaron Hernandez in the making if you thought that there was reasons other than basketball not to draft him. That is crazy. That I've never heard that. That's insane. I just thought he was a bad GM. He is. In terms of Kukoc is better be lucky a fucking Hall of Famer. That's crazy. That's don't trust these hoop niggas. Just because niggas play basketball, don't mean they know basketball. I've said it before and I will keep saying it. Just because niggas play ball, don't mean they know ball. It's idiotic.
We might have to revisit that whole the chicken and the egg conversation with who started the hate. You know what I'm saying? Is it the new gen dudes? Because I'm looking at this, I'm like, what the fuck prompted this? Despite the statistics, that's not a young person gassing up Jokic to an nth degree. It's just these are his statistics. Despite his statistics, he's not better than Vlade Divac. I don't know. Because I quote retweeted the tweet saying, oh, brother. And I think DKM says something in the replies. And looking back at Tony Parker and his comments on Luka a couple weeks back too, I feel like when it comes to European greatness, they specifically value what you do in the Euro leagues. And they don't give a shit what the fuck you do in the NBA for some reason.
You know what it is? It's the fact that these guys are being seen so great, so quickly, so young now. Like, they're not, if you look at the average young foreigner's perspective in terms of their career, it's nothing like what those older guys had to go through. It's nothing like what Tony Parker had to go through coming over and playing NBA basketball. It's nothing like the stories Tony Kukoc would tell you about coming over to play NBA basketball. It was a lot harder. So to me, I feel like it's a lot of hate to see that a nigga like Luka just comes over and is the NBA darling with his style of play. It's a lot of hate seeing Wimby come over, NBA darling, his style of play. It's a lot of hate seeing Giannis and Jokic being, you know, the best players in the NBA. If you ask guys now who runs the league, out of the top 10 guys, name the top 10 in the NBA, 6 of these niggas are foreigners. That shit eats at Tony Parker. That nigga wishes that in 03, they would say, oh, yeah, the foreigners is running shit. No, you niggas was not getting that kind of courtesy. You wonder why? Because niggas like Gilbert Arenas was playing. It was the niggas out my league, niggas. That's who they played against. They get the niggas out my league, niggas.
Can I give you some more before anybody else? I'm going to give you some more of what Tony Kukoc said. 30 years ago, Divac surprised America with the way he handled the ball while being this tall. Raja, when it comes to how he could catch the ball under the basket and reach the other side of the court and score. Jokic has improved a lot and can improve his game a lot. Not even real criticisms. That's it.
Yeah,
that's
I'm like, what? Okay, man.
Oh, wait, my bad. There's more.
Oh, no.
This is him giving praise, I guess. Jokic is not an athlete. He doesn't run as fast as American college players. Oh, my God. But he has an incredible ability to get the game into a rhythm that suits him. He scores, assists, catches ball, all in his own mode. When he gets the game into a rhythm that suits him, then he can do what he wants.
I'm getting to a point where I feel like a lot of these Europeans genuinely feel like the EuroLeague is a better product than the NBA at this point. Or at least it's the harder league. Like, they just go to the NBA. It's easier to score. There's $300 million bags. So let's go over there. But in terms of real hoops, where, you know what I'm saying, you need skill to succeed, you got to succeed in the EuroLeague. I feel like I'm almost getting that sentiment when it comes to how these players talk about playing overseas at this point. Which, is there some truth to it? I don't watch enough EuroLeague basketball to know. But
that nigga hating. No, I don't even need to drag it. That nigga hating. I don't know why you hating. Maybe you bored. Maybe you jealous. Whatever it is. That nigga hating like crazy. I don't even need to drag this any longer than this. To add on to Damo's point, yeah, I get LeBron and JJ's pod exists now. For some reason, that's the next domino to fall that validates only NBA player discourse in terms of opinions. No, some of these niggas are dumb. This is a dumb person speaking basketball. Was he better than I would ever be? Yes. Was he bigger, taller, stronger, faster, whatever? Cool. That nigga don't know what the hell he's talking about. The literal analysis of it wasn't even X's and O's. I don't even know what the fuck you just said, Omar. I don't know what I just heard, bro. That nigga said, Jokic is getting better. He's getting better, I guess. Yeah, he's getting better. Like, what? What are you talking about? So, yeah, I look, stop validating these guys just because they played. It's unfortunate we have to give this any time of day. I don't even need to sit there and be corny and talk about how much better Jokic is than Vlade. Don't need to talk about the other names. I don't even know where the fuck he got those from. So, yeah, it's just sad news day for him, I guess.
And real quick, Omar, so in terms of the foreign product, listen, buddy, we're talking about a league being ran by Shane Larkin, Kendrick Nunn, Kemba Walker, and Shabazz Napier. Hey, real hoops, I guess, but goddamn, like, I don't know how much better than hoops can possibly be. Goddamn, Shane Larkin leading the league in points. I don't know how much better that product. Like, come on, man. Mike James and Jones. Mike James, crazy. Both of them. Both of them. Mike Jones probably is over there rapping.
Going forward from now on, if you are going to allow these older guys to give criticism to the younger guys, there has to be, there literally it should be a mandate. There has to be, what can this person do, or what is this person missing? What can this person do to become better? And if the default, because some of these people's default, I was listening to Rondo and he was on All the Smoke earlier, and I was listening to that. And just some, I thought Rondo was gonna be a better podcast. I don't know why, but just some of the defaults. Oh, they don't play defense today. Oh, nobody knows how to play team basketball. You gotta have a ball in your hands to be effective. I'm like, man, that is just so tired. That is legitimately, like, nothing that you're saying is true. Oh, it's more physical back in my day. What can this person do now? He can't turn this. He can't go in a time machine. He can't do that. So what can they do? What can Jokic do to be as good as Vlade Divac?
Yeah.
What can Jokic do to be? I don't even remember Buddy's name. I was just looking at Donja.
Man, I don't know.
What can he do to be better than him? What can he do, Rashard McCants, to separate himself from Pau Gasol and Mark Gasol? If he wins the MVP this year, he'll have two, three.
It'd be three.
Three. It'll most likely make a deep playoff run, barring injuries, God forbid. And somehow he'll still be in the same realms as Vlade Divac, Pau Gasol, and Marc Gasol if you ask the right people. What can he do?
Hey, man. Another case of just, if you don't like someone, just say it. Or if you have a preference towards one player, just say that. It'll make life a lot easier, and it would actually make more sense. Like, that has. I just like the way that he plays. That's it.
No, so you don't understand how truly, like, even with me and Damo's point, that you're hitting on the head in the sense of, if you don't like somebody, bro, just say that. There's a comment on our video, Souls. It was basically along the lines of this some dude was basically commented on the past two videos. Don't y'all find NBA creators cringe now because of all the players that are talking about ball or anything like that? I was like, I mean, it's a parody, first of all, but you're watching a parody. But two, more importantly, okay, why is your take valid? In fact, he talked about that. He likes Jimmy High Roller and some other YouTuber. It's like, how is Jimmy and his take valid? They didn't play. He's like, nah, I mean, they have well-researched takes, so maybe if you guys just research a little bit more and talk real hoops. I'm like, that's a contradiction. You said we don't know anything because we haven't played. So what the fuck is the point of researching if we still haven't played? If Gilbert Arenas says something and I say something, no matter what craft I show you, I haven't played. So at the end of the day, when it comes to Nikola Jokic, when it comes to the NBA sphere, really, it's a lot of people that just genuinely just don't like motherfuckers, okay? And that's fine. We literally refer to ourselves as fans of certain teams. It's only natural for us to be, you know, damn near haters or just straight up haters of other teams. But this is a weird agenda pushing y'all have to do to work around not trying to seem like a bad guy. You seem like an asshole. Just not admitting that, hey, I just don't like the motherfucker. I say all the time, I don't like the Clippers. Not objective about them. People accept that. They may hate it, but they accept it and move on. But y'all sit here and try to, you know, talk about in a soothing voice, or sit here and pull up some research on why you don't like a motherfucker, dog. Just say you don't like him.
Yeah.
with that being said, I want to get into this next part of the conversation. I want to know, and this is for people in the chat, pause the video, pause the you know, the audio. Somebody has to explain this to me. Explain if you know what plus minus means. I'm about to make it my take of the week. Fuck it. Advanced analytics are overrated. I'm one of them now. Yeah. That was the wrong thing.
Too. You've always been that guy.
But it's because people just, to me, have no interpretation of what advanced analytics are. So Scooter Magruder, my guy, young Scooter, had a game this weekend. He was minus 58, just had the lowest plus minus in NBA history. Yeah, 27, 6 assists, 1 steal, 2 blocks. He shot 49, 50% true shooting, 44% from the field, 20% from three, 60% from free throw. They lost 82 to 142. I asked people, because they're this right here is proof that he's the worst player in the league. This right here is proof that he's a bust. This right here is proof that he's all this and the third. I asked people, what does true shooting mean? I got a lot of, Omar, just, he's bad. Okay. He's bad. You can't see that. Clearly, it's as clear as day that Scoot Henderson is bad. Okay, I want to know, because you're referencing plus minus as his, the point of reference to say that he's bad. Why do you think Scoot Henderson is bad? Omar, you just see it. Here you go. This is what Dama was talking about. Me. All right, y'all on dick now. And that's when I got to bow out of the conversation. That's what they be saying. And mind you, I challenge people because I don't know how they analyze the game. I watched this clip. This is in 1P. But this
is when they make a good play. It doesn't even feel like a good play because you immediately
are
aware of what the scoreboard says. Like, look.
They're trying to figure out how Jaime Jaquez got that bucket right there. Now, mind you, the reporter is killing the entire team. But Scoot Henderson is in the middle of the zone, trying to find a place in the zone. Roach tries to transition over or help over or whatever, and then Jaime Jaquez kind of sneaks behind that. And all of that was Scoot Henderson's fault. Like B-Soul said, if you hate the guy, you hate the guy. Just say that. Mm-hmm. But I don't think people know how to interpret what they're looking at, and advanced analytics is making it even harder for people.
I think that's the main thing is, like, I hate it when people just bring up advanced analytics and just, oh, this player has a higher BPM than another player, so therefore they're more valuable. I do still think advanced analytics are important if you know what they actually are and what they mean in the context of a basketball game. But if you're about to bring up BPM, chat, do y'all know what the equation for BPM actually is? If you don't, I will put it on the screen right now.
Ain't that beats per minute?
Nah, in basketball. This right here is how you get raw BPM. Y'all know what, that?
What is that? A? Is that Q times R-E-M-P-G?
What is A that? Times R-E-M-P-G. R-E-M-P-G is a regress minutes per game.
Okay, stop.
B times offensive rebounds, offensive rebound percentage, and offensive rebound has its own little equation over here. Y'all cannot, like, y'all don't know what these stats mean. And I do want to give credit to those who actually dive into what this number means and actually know how to contextualize it. But a lot of y'all literally just go on Basketball Reference, go to advanced stats, who has a higher VORP, who has a higher BPM, and based off of advanced analytics, this player is just so much better than this other player.
I'm going back to asking people what's the highest math they took.
Yeah, even me and Omar once upon a time had an argument in terms of interpreting data and things like that. And over the years, interpreting data has become a thing for many people as of late, but especially NBA fans. I'm going to keep it short and simple to the point. Basketball Reference is, you know, a reference. People go to Numbers Never Lie. That's fine, but it can deceive your dumbass. I know that for a fact. Like, they can deceive your shit, bro. If, without certain context, without certain stories, or hell, even with just the raw numbers, you can damn well lie to somebody. You can just tell something that's just straight up not true to a degree. So when people look up these numbers, they hear their favorite creator use it, or they find something in the advanced section, or they accidentally click on something and see Basketball Reference and what? Purple? So they start freaking the fuck out. Ultimately, at the end of the day, still have an opinion prior to and use those numbers to refer to your original point, to boost up your original point, even if you got to push agendas. But don't get your takes from just numbers, because you'll end up, one, showing that you didn't watch the game again. I don't know. It always comes back down to niggas not watching the game. But two, and more importantly, you just make yourself again look like an asshole, because now you're just reading numbers. We're not even talking hoops. You're literally reading numbers. The sad part about it all is how Jokic and Luka blew up. That's kind of like how they're viewed, though. I gotta admit, we just had a segment on Jokic being worse than Vlade Divac. Now that you really think about it, the blow up of Nikola Jokic in terms of aura, superstardom, whatever it wasn't his personality, because people don't like his personality. It was going on Twitter and all of these niggas making up VORP LeBron Raptor stats, and now he has the moniker of being that guy. So now, when he even gets even better, and he has a flagrant pass of the eye test, in my personal opinion, people don't care. It's always VORP, path those stats for Jokic. So it's tough.
And just because I'm looking up the equations for certain advanced stats now, bro. This is for VORP. So that big ass equation for BPM. That you, first of all, you need that number to get VORP, and then you need all of these other variables. It's just like, bro, y'all. I know for a fact y'all haven't taken the time to read. I personally haven't taken the time to read this. Now I will say there was a point in time where I used to be to bring up the advanced stats guys. Just this is what it is. Like literally the only thing a lot of y'all know about VORP is the fact that it's a cumulative stat. That's it.
I think for me, advanced stats always had a place in the.
This is literally calculus too, bro. Like, no, this is if I see an integral, bro, I'm about to lose it. Like, what the fuck?
That word pissed me off. What I'll say is, advanced stats were always supposed to be something where a guy in a barbershop is talking about like something that actually is statistically recorded. So somebody's sitting there talking about, yeah, that's fine, bro. He's better field goal percentage, but I ain't gonna lie. When you factor in his 3-point percentage and his free throw percentage, he's a more efficient player. I just can't prove it. And then some dude, well, actually, I can prove it. And then they introduce him to said stat. But now it's just become like a Harry Potter contest. You know what? There's Harry Potter fans. Now it's become some math contest of who like has the spell or wizardry of what is the smartest equation to show that they're a smarter basketball fan. It's kind of boring.
When you actually find that guy who does know what he's talking about, you might get cooked.
Whoa. Are you saying in terms of like the person who doesn't? Who doesn't care about advanced stats going against the person that does know what every advanced stat means? Are you talking about the guy that tries to pose for advanced stats, meaning somebody that actually knows what the stats mean?
I'm talking about let's say me and you are having a conversation.
Right.
I bring up BPM or VORP, and you counter with, man, you don't even know what that shit means. And I give you a full breakdown of what that shit actually means. Because, you know, I'm be honest. I genuinely think, that's like, when I have conversations with Eli, like, he knows the context of these stats and how to use them. When I have a conversation with Swiper and he brings up EPM, I genuinely think he knows the context of the stat and how to use it. Get cooked. Yeah. But that's mine.
Yeah,
but that's what
I'd say cooked in quotes at the end of the day, but we talking basketball.
And when Swiper asked me I think it was last year, who I think the MVP is, me, Giannis, him. Why? Yeah, I like him better.
You always gotta outdumb a smart nigga. I ain't gonna lie.
Me, yeah, I like him better, dog. I ain't gonna lie to you. So he's getting to see how I take it a week, man.
Oh shit. One week where I'm a little shaky on it. I ain't gonna lie. Ooh, get like this one. Get back to me. I'm deciding between.
Come on.
No, I'm ready. Listen. My hot take of the week, not going to lie. Seen something on the timeline, thought it was a great conversation. And oh, I'm pulling it up right now. Give me a second. Nope.
Pulling it out. What?
Pulling it up. Relax. Listen, man. If the country broke out in the Civil Wars, I don't think the hot take is the fact that Zone 4 is sweeping the nation. That's not the hot take. That's the casual cold take. The hot take is Zone 2, garbage. The hot take is Zone 7, garbage. Zone 5, garbage. And I'm not going to lie to you. Zone 1? Zone 1?
Hell no.
Underrated?
Big trash.
You gotta say what's in these zones. We're an audio production. What's in these zones?
I'm sorry. Zone 2, New York, New Jersey, and is PR Puerto Rico? Is that what that is? Yeah. I didn't realize Puerto Rico at first. Trash, garbage. Not worried about them. My pick for underrated zone would be Zone 9, Cali, Nevada, Arizona, Hawaii. No one's talking about Hawaii. They're not worried about Hawaii. You should be. We talked about Hawaiian Bloods on my stream today. You guys are crazy out there. Zone 5, I heard a lot of people saying Zone 5 was the one that really gave people problems. Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, Michigan, Wisconsin, Minnesota. Hey, man, y'all don't know about them people in Gary. Once I called
the Minnesota Timberwolves of the shit?
No. Listen, you guys are hard carried by Detroit, Chicago, and we all know it. We're not worried. We're not worried down here. People told me Zone 3. Sage, listen, I love you almost like a brother. I'm not going to lie to you. Garbage.
Don't say nothing crazy, man. We got the racist side of VA, too. You tripping. we got all types of guns out here, man. All right,
first of all, can't talk guns in Zone 4. Sorry. Can't do that. But listen,
I ain't say three, we anyway.
It's looking pretty bad. Zone 6. A lot of people making noise for Zone 6. We do not care about Texas. Texas is carrying Zone 6. Okay. We're not worried about Texas. I'm here in Louisiana. Talk about there like that. Durag Dave is the only Arkansas person I know, and that's Durag Dave. Oklahoma, we're not worried about the Thunder. And New Mexico is New Mexico. Not worried. Who y'all know from New Mexico? Exactly. Nobody.
The New Mexicans.
Cool, bro.
So this was your elaborate plan to say that your hometown zone would win.
Is it not clear? It's clear as day. What?
Well, for starters, I just want to point out, you got a lot of states in that motherfucker.
That should really be two zones. Facts.
So, yeah, I'm about to say, you got Atlanta. No, Atlanta. Well, shit. You got Atlanta. How do you have Georgia, Florida, Bama, Kentucky, Tennessee, and Carolinas? Yo,
that's the coast in the region. Ain't nobody talking about Zone 5 got a lot of states. What we talking about? Zone 6 got a lot of states.
Zone 5
and a lot of
states. No, 6 states.
That's a lot of states.
Oh my god. Yo, so that's one. Two, I ain't gonna lie. Look, I'm already saying that. I think Zone 3 gonna lose when we step out of our zone, but you come over to the Dummiesville, if you will. All right. But what I will say, Where you bugging the fuck out. I ain't gonna lie. I'm gonna keep it casual. You're not worried about Texas. Though. You're crazy, nigga. You're insane. You are drunker than drunk. Cali is giving y'all bump as well. I think you called him out as underrated. Okay, all right.
Yeah.
This is definitely some play-in tournament shit. Who wins between 1 and 10?
1 and 10.
Mid all.
Yeah. In sweeps. I'm sorry.
You got Connecticut. Yeah. You got Paige Beckers.
I'd got to say the niggas that at least close to Cali.
They have Seattle alone. Seattle alone murders everywhere up there.
That's what you got? Massachusetts, Vermont, Maine?
New Hampshire? Get the fuck out of here.
Have y'all seen the game Supermarket Simulator?
No.
What? I don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. B-Souls.
Listen, man. I am done with debates in 2024. That is my hot take. I'm done with debates, and I am only for conversations. Yes, bro. I was watching a video today explaining the difference between debates and conversations, and it, it was speaking a lot of truth, bro. I think when it comes to debates, people just come in to argue their point. They don't really come into it with a sense of trying to find out a new perspective or to learn anything. It's just, I want to beat you in this argument. And that's it. But conversations allows for people to grow. You know what I'm saying? Conversations allow for safe environments. Yes. Cook.
Cat. I agree.
I agree with you.
TSO underscore.
Yeah, it's a mid one, guys. It's a mid one. I couldn't really think of anything. So I took a little scroll on ye old Twitter. And I seen someone say that, you know, outside of all of the Angel Reese discourse right now, because you knew that was coming, that relationships are boring or anything. I'm not going to lie. My hot take is if you're single, dog, you the problem. you are the problem at this point, man. And niggas don't like to hear that. Niggas think they're choosing themselves. Niggas think that they're waiting for their moment. Nah, you the problem. And as a single nigga, I know I'm the problem. I'm way too committed to just not, you know, texting people back. Like, as busy as I either am or think I am, ain't no reason for not call nobody, text nobody. You know what I'm saying? Shit like that. It's endless reasons. It's endless reasons why you are the problem. Whether it's, you know, some niggas don't shower. Sorry. I ain't gonna lie. It's just some of you niggas boof. Some of you niggas can't dress. Some of you girls, I ain't gonna lie, you got the weirdest standards of all time. Toxic as fuck. It is for so many reasons. People that go on to say relationships are overrated. Nah, boy. Because when you was a kid, you talked about one day when I'm gonna get married. And now niggas growing up when they 20 and lonely. Oh, I don't want to get married. All right, bro. I guess. But you the problem, bro.
I sent the Q&A link down there. Want to possibly squeeze in one. There was one guy specifically who was talking about me and Damo disrespecting Kobe, and he swore he was going to be here. So I wanted to hear that. But nonetheless, I did want to get this what the fudge, the WTF clip of the week out before we bounced. Pause. Now, if I put these two people in the room, it's going to sound crazy. Who do you think is the worst? Three people in the room. We got three people in the room. Mm-hmm. Out of these three people, who is the worst person? P. Diddy, Dan Schneider, or Shaquille O'Neal?
What? This is a crazy setup.
Dirty damn, man.
Hold on now. Before you answer.
Okay.
So what happened to set it up?
It's okay. So you got to understand, when I'm on a team, I'm the president. I am the emperor. So when you're a rookie, do the I say, man. Oh, I got to show you how to get down. Like, this is around a time you really could put hands on people, but from 1992 to 2007, I touched up in the locker room. That was me. So I told him to do something. He didn't do it. And, like, he's also sending me because he's a jokester. He thought I was playing. So I said, yo, man, playing. And I chased him around the locker room. And UD
was naked? You or him?
I was butt naked. He was just getting out the shower. But I wanted to, bro, you don't talk like you.
What, bro?
Knock his head off. Just talk.
What happened?
And these kids don't know about that, man. That's pre-cancel culture. The good old... Yo, that's what y'all sound like.
Is that the end of your life to go back to?
Pre-cancel culture. When real men play. Like, all right, bro.
I have my hot take of the week now. I remembered something.
Is that the NBA they want us to go back to?
The good old days. When big men dominate.
Wait. Answer the question first. Diddy, Dan Schneider, or Shaquille O'Neal?
Dan, because it was kids, but what the fuck?
Diddy, because it was kids as well.
I'm about to say, I was going to say Diddy, but to imagine I'm in a locker room, we just got done playing a game,
Hey, Rook, go get some donuts.
Man, nah, Shaq, man, relax, man. Nah, I'm sore, my foot hurt. I ain't trying to do all that shit. 10 minutes go by, I'm out the shower.
Hey, Rook, I said I want my donuts.
And I look, and it's a naked Shaq chasing me. Oh, nah. That's scarring.
Big Diesel.
Playing ping pong between his legs. Big dick ass boy.
I actually remember what my hot take was. Wait, what?
Well, actually.
That's crazy, Gale.
How is that?
I
don't know if you heard about that Superhead book, but actually, pretty underwhelming.
But underwhelming from what you probably imagine is 18 inches to like 13 is still crazy.
What are we talking about right now, man?
She said underwhelming compared to just regular standards. Just she was
I don't think Shaq has a 7-inch penis.
He has a womp womp.
I think Shaq has a 7-inch penis.
Nah.
Placid?
Why did you do the bomb? The bomb was
I beg your pardon. I beg your pardon.
I was trying to get
motherfucker said flaccid.
I beg your pardon.
My fault, man.
Oh my god.
You niggas, man.
Oh my god.
Nah. Somebody got the knee knocker. Either him or Darrell Wright. I don't know.
Which podcast does this, Chad?
This actually, I'm going to pray this helps change the subject. Holy
go ahead, go
hell.
Ahead. Go ahead.
I remembered my hot take. It didn't get bookmarked for some reason. My hot take is, man, and I don't have the clip to pull up. I know one of y'all do. Dog. If y'all niggas miss the F word, just admit that. I'm not saying just say it, but just admit it, bro. Like, you niggas miss the F word. I ain't gonna lie.
Now, that's what I call motherfucking
and it sound crazy, but, like, dog, at this point, we are getting to a point where niggas is, all right, like, I see where you're coming from. Generation is soft, but damn, like, Yo, you just want to say the F word. You just want to say the R word again, bro. I'm not going to lie. You got two words you missed. You're nostalgic. I ain't going to lie.
What Sage is referencing is Pretty V, Pretty Yvette. I don't know her name. Getting on Instagram live or video or whatever and just spilling guts, man.
Oh. This world is so sensitive. You can't talk about gays, you can't talk about LGBTQ, you can't talk about, you know, whatever. These things are it's happening in real life. Like, it's happening in real life. Like, I get it. It's
what's- I'm gonna stop because it does get crazier. I'm gonna stop. But that's
anybody watching the video, you see, I was ready to list shit off. I'm like, all right, let's see what you're talking about. Gays, all right. LG. Oh, hold on. Same thing. You can
trans. See things around. Damn, like, bro. Right?
Oh, same thing. You know what I'm saying? Like,
the
bi. I ain't got no.
Can't say nothing.
The bi. I ain't got a problem with V. But this is what I'm saying, bro. Y'all just miss the word, man. I ain't gonna lie.
Let me keep it going because what she follows it up with is also pretty crazy.
Around. You can't talk about different people. You got to stay away from these celebrities. You can't talk about that. You can't talk about. But this is happening in real life. And as comedians and as entertainers, we should be able to tap in and talk about these things and bring some form of laughter to a situation that might be heavy. So that's my job. And my job is also to bring healing is laughter is healing. So whatever people I could pull into that and let them know about me and then tap into the word of God, I'm going to do all of that.
Word of God. She want to talk about Meek Mill so bad. She want to call Meek Mill gay so bad. Oh my god!
Why you're not funny.
Jokes off, man.
You're not funny, and I know that that's like a revelation. But you're not funny. Literally, you are not funny. You've never said any gay jokes before, and I know it hasn't been. It's not an itch that you needed to scratch for the past 10, 15, 20 years to get the gay jokes off. That's just not it. You are just not funny. Damn, and there was one more thing that I wanted to say in this. I would also like to present to them, because this is funny. This might be enough if everything is funny to Damo's wheelhouse. If she says her as entertainers and comedians, they should be able to bring light. I would wonder how she would handle somebody just outwardly slandering her in the name of comedy and entertainment. Yeah, you monkey, you black, you skinny. Like if somebody did that, oh, it's funny though. It's jokes. Why can't I as an entertainer get that off? That's not funny. I wonder how she would take that.
Yeah, I've referenced it in the past.
I've seen Damo's face on my
not of her being that, let me be clear. But I've referenced in the past of if these comedians are gonna have this stance on this, then okay, if you must say these things, you must talk about these things. Like you have the nostalgia scratch, or if that's your way to get your edgy jokes off, then all right, bro. I'm not gonna lie, y'all gonna call it gawk, but do it the way South Park can do it. Do it in a way where it's educational, or do it in a way where it's a positive message despite a harsher tone or something like that. But it just seems like we just want to get dark jokes off. And then that goes back to my main stance of, bro, if you just missed the word, I'm not saying say the word. I don't want, you know what I'm saying? I'm not asking niggas to spread hate, but I'm asking you to just be real with yourself and just admit that's all it is. Because it got to be a dark joke. Look, I know I'm the guy that cusses the most on the podcast, and some people may say that I'm only funny when I swear. But if in real life, or if I personally felt that I couldn't get any joke off without cussing, I wouldn't think I'm funny. Let alone if it had to be a dark humorous joke where I have to offend somebody or anything like that. So I just think it's tough, bro. But as soft as this generation can be, some of y'all just miss saying crazy stuff.
I'm not gonna lie. If that's what you want to get off, get it off.
Yes, say it.
Because if it's funny, it's gonna hit. I promise you can say offensive shit. If it is funny, there's going to be a market for it. Now you might not be able to be the comedian that you thought you was gonna be. Bitch, you're not gonna be Kevin Hart. Sorry. You can't be Kevin Hart if you want to say the F word. But you can be whatever fucking Pretty V can be and be successful and be monetizable in what you want to do. There's a ceiling to it. And how funny you are will dictate that ceiling. Just understand if you start saying this shit and don't nobody want to hear it, ain't nobody coming to those shows. You can't get booked for no tours. You can't get booked for no small shit. It's not because you were saying these crazy jokes. It's because you weren't funny.
No, that's really what it is. People come to her shows, but in about a year and a half, she'll be on Fox News, and they'll be asking her questions like she's Candace Owens, and then she'll turn in the mirror and be like, damn, how did I get here? It's because you wanted to say that for her, dog. I don't know what to do.
It's just crazy to me because, like, literally over the last couple of weeks, we have seen so many things, like, resurface from that less sensitive era. And a lot of it is, yeah, because we lived in a less sensitive era, a lot of bad people were able to get away with bad things. So I don't know why you would want to go back to that era. I understand back then you could have got the F word off and no one really cared. But the extreme to that is, yeah, in this less sensitive era when people didn't really care about shit, people were getting assaulted. Shit was going on behind the scenes that we didn't know about. So it is what it is, bro. Just say it.
Directed to her, man. And that's not even me being PC about it. It really is directed to everybody, because we obviously know with Kick, that's their whole thing. We know with pretty much that entire crowd that views South Park is just ignorance. We know how the Boondocks Wouldn't Survive in 2020 crowd. We know the crowd we're talking about. It's not just a dunk on V-Day. Now, if you don't think she's funny, you don't think she's funny at all. She make me laugh every now and then, I guess. I don't really indulge, though. But
no, it's crazy. I think the spaces she's looking for are they still exist. Like you said, like you can probably get those jokes off on Kick and no one would care. It's just like just becoming mainstream. I just don't think that's possible.
Yeah,
anymore.
It's not possible. It's straight up.
Go on Rumble, bro. Get your jokes off on Rumble. I don't think anyone would care.
You'd have to be one of one.
You have to put up all-time numbers to be able to get that shit off mainstream. Uh-huh. And, yeah, like, you would have to be such an attraction that it doesn't make sense for them niggas not to fuck with you. Like, that's the kind of... And that is rare. It's not something easy. It's not something super tangible. It's some unseen shit. It's Michael Jackson level of big. And I guess a lot of people don't realize that. They think that they can coast by just being normal levels of great at some shit and think they can get by with the edgy shit still. Like, it's 10 years ago. It's not. This is a new time.
Man, say it. Okay.
Facts. Say it. You're still
getting off somewhere. Them jokes with Desi and B. Simone, that ain't moving the needle no more. Drop it. Fuck it.
Damn.
Why not? Yeah, she's still doing that shit.
I don't really got a problem with her skits and nothing like that. It's just... It ain't even just... It's just... Yeah, it ain't really about her. It's just like that message getting played out.
No, it's like, you know what I think?
It's just like, old, bro. Like, we keep hearing this, bro. Just say it, bro. Like, at this point, like, damn.
Just live. And if it's funny,
I'm saying, I promise you, I'll laugh.
If it's funny, it'll be funny. But if it's not, I mean, there's a market for it. It reminds me of that nigga that was like popping on YouTube in 2012, 2013, doing a certain way. And time changed, and the nigga was just like, I mean, I like doing my videos like this. Like, fuck it. Still does it. Still keeps doing it. Just keeps chugging.
Still make those videos, man. If you want to make those videos, make them. Somebody's going to find it.
Somebody's going to watch it.
Yeah.
It's not going to be me.
Mainstream.
I'm about to say, will it be me? Probably not. But
and I'm probably going to be the one that say, oh, we should cancel that bitch. But you said it. You said what you wanted to say. Don't go out biting your tongue. If you want to call, like, Jess Hilarious, she be calling people stuff all the time. Just drop it, V. Drop it, V. Man, just get it out. Anyway, let's get up out of here so people can watch that fourth quarter of the UConn USC game.
Apparently, that game very crazy.
You saying on playback for it or?
Oh yeah, no. I mean,
I'm going to bed.
Okay, damn.
I think I technically.
Oh, but I want to watch it though. Yeah, I'll stay and watch it.
I think I technically. Let me see, because I ain't streaming tonight, chat. I thought I was. Nah, they're sleeping.
10 minutes. 10 minutes. 10 minutes. With that being said, ladies and gentlemen, Damo, say goodbye to the people.
All right, Chaz, me and my favorite midnight snack, and we will be back tomorrow or Wednesday. Not going on to you. Had a stream today. The stream was cool. Watched the Hawaiian Bloods and shit like that. Got some videos to finish. Omar, you were absolutely right. That balloon popping video shit. Oh my god, that shit is pure gold. Pure gold. Clips on days. So yeah, tune into the streams. Definitely gonna be checking out more of those videos. Shit will be fun.
She's got a banger. That Arlette girl. I'm not gonna lie, she's doing things. Sage, say goodbye to the people.
All right, people. Episode 2 of the Steelers rebuild will be recorded either tonight or early tomorrow morning, members. I got to get y'all episode 1 ASAP, but let me tell you, man, that series is becoming a banger for no reason. I ain't going to lie. It was up at like 7 a.m. watching these motherfuckers play ball. That series is becoming great, promise y'all. So become a member if you want to see me crash out at the Pittsburgh. Man, I hate Russell Wilson already. Either way, follow up the Twitch if you're not interested in that. If you're interested in anime, Discord debates, WWE content, because I know WrestleMania is coming up and we don't talk about it on the podcast. So if you want to hear me talk about it over there, I'll make that video as well. Last and certainly not least, I know we talk about updating our own sphere for the TSO niggas in chat. Hey, I know, Sage, I fell in love with that Clippers video. Yeah, that era is dead, buddy. There is Cook. There's a new champion on the channel. Nobody understands Son Goku is now the number one video on the TSO Sage channel. Clippers era, that'll do, buddy. That'll do. But take care and stay blessed. I'll see you guys on Thursday.
Be so, Bobby.
Peace out, y'all. Appreciate y'all for coming through. Shout out to everyone on the playback side. This podcast was actually longer than what the YouTube side makes it seem. We've been live for like 4 hours. I ain't gonna lie.
Yes, bro.
I want to shout out a couple 5-star reviews as well on podcast real quick. This is from CJ. Love these guys. They're great. Appreciate you. This is Come Me Culo. Y'all boys some goats and love how y'all do it different. Make Monday and Thursday better for me and a lot of people out there. Glad to be a Bucker since 2021. Appreciate you. This is from Calamity. Been a Bucker since 2021. Damn. Shout out to 2021. 97% of that has been through audio. Y'all make working for the white man tolerable, along with the Benjamin. Bucker for life. Any monkey emoji hating needs to get them a super job. It would mean a lot if you rate my brother's song on stream. Okay, well, we're heading out, but I appreciate you.
Um, New videos every single day of the week, man. I love making content. Shouts out to Caitlin Clark. Shouts out to LSU. Shouts out to women's basketball. But with that being said, we will see you guys later.
It's okay to make fun of Haley as long as you're strictly on sports. Bye.